All right, let's. Now we have Ann Kaiser talking about the results of the first case study.
I don't think it's fair to have to follow Danny. He's far too entertaining and far too smart. So I'm going to go quickly through the beginning of this because Danny covered a lot of it, and I'm going to focus mostly on what the intervention was, what the decision rules were, and what the outcomes were. We talked about that. We know that there's somewhere between probably 30 and 50% of kids that remain minimally verbal. For those of you who don't think a lot about minimally verbal kids, I think it's important to realize that these kids are not necessarily nonverbal, but they typically have very low rates of verbalizing, limited diversity. A lot of times they'll have single words that they use primarily for requesting, but not for other social functions, or they might have a small repertoire of rote phrases, but they don't use language flexibly in terms of content or flexibly in terms of function. They're a relatively understudied population, especially when we get to school-age kids. These children in our study were 5 to 8-year-olds. And there are very few interventions to inform what we should do with these minimally verbal kids. Basically, no randomized trials with school-age kids. And although there are some case studies, actually there are a lot of case studies, that suggest that minimally verbal kids can learn to speak and use language after age 5, those results come from a synthesis review of a large number of case studies. The interventions in that synthesis review were primarily ABA-type interventions, and there was some really important information. About 70% of those kids actually did show an increase in words, but only about 30% of them actually became fluent speakers. The kids that did well tended to be in this window between ages 5 and 8, and they tended to have higher IQs. So Danny already told you about the goals, but just to review, our purpose here was to construct an adaptive intervention that utilized a naturalistic behavioral communication intervention that added the variation of a speech-generating device with minimally verbal school-age children, and had two aims: to examine the effect of adaptive interventions beginning with the speech-generating device and beginning only with the JASP-EMT naturalistic intervention, and then the second aim to compare the outcomes for those three interventions. So our criteria for minimally verbal, let me say that there's not a single standard criteria for children who are minimally verbal. In this study, the participants had less than 20 spontaneous words in a naturalistic language sample. They were between 5 and 8 years old. They had a minimum cognitive level on the lighter of 24 months. They all had a diagnosis of autism or ASD. They had a history of previous treatment, and this is important because we wanted to choose children who had already been involved in an early intervention that should have targeted communication, so that we knew that these are kids that had had some access to intervention prior to this. We did not include kids who were already fluent users of AACs. Some kids, about 20% of the sample, did come with an AAC, but they were not fluent users of it at the entry to the study. So we had 61 children. About 50 of those kids were boys, a fairly diverse sample, and they were about 6.5 years old when they started the study. On average, they had about 17 words. They were a little over 2.5 on the PPVT and had a lighter score. The average lighter score was 68, but again, I want to point out that the range of IQ for these kids was really large, and that's an important thing to know about minimally verbal kids. They're a very diverse, heterogeneous sample of kids, and that's true for IQ and for behavior and a lot of other dimensions that we can talk about later. So this is the fancy version of Danny's slides that shows all of the randomization and the number of kids at each point. And I'm not going to walk you through this. You know the logic. You all know smart designs by now, right? Danny's a good teacher. Here's the simple version. And I'm going to focus on the outcomes from the initial randomization and from the secondary randomization. So the intervention that we used was a blended intervention of Connie Cassery's lab, the joint attention symbolic play and emotion regulation, long history of randomized trials showing this to be effective with younger children with autism, and enhanced milieu teaching from our lab. We blended these with the specific intention of being able to address the range of foundations for social communication and specifically target spoken language. In these two interventions, you model and prompt joint attention, symbolic play, and verbal and nonverbal communication. It's very much driven by the child's interest and adjusted in response to what the child presents. So our goals are to increase engagement, increase children's social initiations and symbolic play, and their social communication, particularly commenting. Lots of these kids come able to request. So our goal is spontaneous social communication that's more composed of commenting than requesting. Let's see if this video will play. So this is two parts at the beginning of intervention and at 24 sessions.
Want boat or blocks?
Net.
Boat on.
Boat.
Green.
Oh.
Sorry.
Colors.
No green.
Colors. Blue.
Oh, you want a blue bat.
Boats. Drive.
Drive boats.
So a child who was speaking not at all at the beginning of the intervention and a fairly fluent Dynavox user at 12 weeks. So kids had each child in this study started a long time ago, kids used Dynavoxes programmed very similarly to how iPads and Proliquo are currently programmed. Each child had an individualized plan for programming based on their ability to respond to symbols. There were pages programmed for each toy set. Typically, there were about 4 to 6 toy sets available in any session. So the Dynavox contained multiple pages, and the therapist moved pages as the child moved from one toy set to another. Our goal was for about half of the adults' overall utterances to include modeling on the Dynavox, and whenever the adult was expanding the child's language, about 70% of her expansions also included modeling on the Dynavox. The child could either respond verbally or could respond using the speech-generating device and was not prompted specifically to use the speech-generating device. The use of the device was embedded within this naturalistic intervention, and that's a really important understanding of this whole intervention package, that it's not the iPad or the Dynavox per se, but it's the embedding of that communication mode within the naturalistic communication intervention. So there were two phases to this study. In phase one, kids got 24 40-minute sessions in a clinic playroom. Looks something like the picture here. There were toy sets distributed around a small area of the room. The child was free to choose among those toys and move around. The clinician moved with them, brought the Dynavox with her. And this was at the end of phase one was the primary comparison between JASP EMT and JASP with the speech-generating device. In the second phase, same distribution, 24 sessions, 40 minutes long in the clinic playroom, but parents in all conditions received training. So parents had watched during the first phase, and during the second phase, they were taught whatever intervention their child was receiving at that point in time. And so the treatment variations are listed there. You've seen those before. So early responder status was an important thing to determine, and this Danny alluded to this. Our decision point at 24 sessions was based on children having made 25% improvement on 7 or more of the following variables. So So these variables came from two places. They came from session data, which you see on the far side, and they came from a language sample with a therapist, with a trained interactor who was blind to the condition. In order to be considered a treatment responder, the child had to change on at least 7 of these measures and had to show at least 25% improvement. So we coded the data from both of these things, and all of these measures were determined empirically. And they were a broad set of measures, but they specifically targeted the outcome that we were most interested in, which was social communicative utterances. So here are the results. The first aim was to look at these two interventions that began either with the speech generating device or with the naturalistic intervention only. And what we saw for our primary outcome, which was social communicative utterances, was that at 12 weeks, which was the midpoint of the intervention, children who began the intervention with the AAC had more social communicative utterances, and a larger percentage of all of their utterances were communicative. At the end of this treatment, that was true as well, that children who began the intervention with the AAC were also doing better at the end of the intervention than children who began with only the spoken intervention. And here's the data from the analysis. What you see is that both groups are making change. The children in the spoken language group, who are the red line at the bottom, are making systematic, somewhat linear change over time. Children who began the intervention with the speech generating device were much better at 12 weeks and still quite a bit better at 24 weeks. At 36 weeks, which is 12 weeks after the end of the intervention, there's some attenuation of those effects, so that kids are still doing better in the group that began with the speech generating device, but the differences are smaller. The same pattern of effects was true for novel words and for comments. Kids that began with the SGD, here the dark line, did best in terms of the number of total different word roots and the number of total spontaneous comments. The differences follow a similar pattern to what we saw before, in that the biggest change occurred after 12 weeks of intervention. These are estimated marginal means, not exact numbers, so interpret them a little bit differently. So we also looked at some secondary measures that related to that primary out to our first aim. And one of the important differences is that in the groups that began with the speech generating device, there were more early treatment responders. 77% of those kids responded at 12 weeks compared to the kids that began with the spoken language intervention only. 62% of those kids were early responders. The group that had the speech generating device had more different words and more comments than the kids that began with the spoken language. So the second aim here was to compare the outcome of those three adaptive interventions. And basically, this is what Danny previewed for you before. The adaptive interventions that began with kids receiving the speech generating device and were intensified to include it had the greatest impact on social communicative utterances at 24 and 36 weeks. And those are pretty big impacts, and they are significantly different from one another. The adaptive interventions, which augmented the spoken intervention with the SGD, were better than those that were augmented just by increasing the intensity of that intervention, but that difference was not significant. So the summary is that, first of all, there's some really good news that this type of intervention produces systematic and, I think, important social communicative changes in children who are minimally verbal, suggesting that these kids can make significant progress after age 5. Children in this study gained more social communicative utterances, different words and comments when their treatment began with the inclusion of a speech generating or AAC device. The children who were slow responders also did better if the adaptation included the speech generating device. This suggests that speech generating devices can be very effective when they're embedded in a naturalistic communication kind of intervention that addresses other foundations of communication, such as social engagement, joint attention, symbolic play, as well as production of a verbal response. The results were persistent over time, but there was some attenuation at the 36-week follow-up. Promising study, needs replication, It's a relatively small treatment study. The cells for the adapted treatment are relatively small, but the results are very robust. And as Danny pointed out, our ongoing NIH ACE makes a similar comparison with a slightly different set of treatments. But really, both of these studies together speak to this need for researching adaptive treatments in this difficult to treat population of minimally verbal children in a time phase that is really important for these children to make rapid and important changes in social communication. We're very appreciative of Autism Speaks for funding us as a high-risk project. I think we paid off okay. And to the families and kids that participated and the excellent people in these research teams across sites. Thank you. Yes.
Hey, Danny, that was very interesting. In terms of the attenuation after the sessions ended, do you think it's part of the ACE devices being continued or not continued to be used?
So we used Dynavoxes. You know how much Dynavoxes cost? $7,000 or something. And kids weren't able to take them with them home. And so after the intervention was over, some but not all kids had access to an AAC device. Apparently, continued access to that device is important because even though their parents had been trained in the JEMT intervention, that probably accounts for the difference at that 36-week follow-up. Yes? That's right.
So they were comparing spoken languages, a combined spoken and AAC.
You know, that's right, but it turns out that 92% of the language used by the kids in the SGD condition was spoken. And so AAC use accounted for a very small percentage of the difference and did not account for the difference between groups. And I think that's one of the more surprising results from this study. And it makes us pleased about the outcome, but unsure exactly how the AAC actually functioned for some of these children. Yes? In the back.
Was that speech spontaneous, or was it imitating the device?
It was spontaneous. So social communicative utterances were spontaneous. We didn't do that systematically, but that's exactly what some children did. There are lots of different patterns of usage, which we can't go into at this point, but some kids used it for a while and then it kind of faded out for them, but we didn't do anything systematic with it. Okay?